That's the very beginning of a piece called Trumpeting the Stone for orchestra. Really interesting music. It's combining Oneida Native American musical sensibilities with the Western orchestra tradition. It's by composer Brent Michael Davids, who is my guest today. Welcome to Relevant Tones. I'm Seth Bosted. This is the first show of 2026, here all the way in April. As I mentioned in the last program, we took a little hiatus with Relevant Tones while Access Contemporary Music was opening our venue, The Checkout in Chicago. So we're back, and I'm hoping to be posting at least one or two shows a month going forward, and then potentially to get back up to every week where we were before we took on this enormous project of opening a venue. At any rate, my guest on the program today is Brent Michael Davids, and I was really, really excited to be able to talk with him. I've known his music for some time, and he has a very, very exciting year planned. The world premiere of his piece, American Requiem, will happen from the BBC Symphony Orchestra and Chorus on May 17th in London, and then the American premiere by Whitesnake Projects on November 14th, 2026 in Boston. And this will also feature Native American chorus singers and Brent Michael Davids himself on Native American flute, in addition, of course, to the orchestra and chorus. So this is a really, really huge, big project, and it was quite nice to be able to talk with Brent about it. I don't have, it hasn't been premiered yet, so there are no musical excerpts, so we're going to feature some other pieces that give you a sense of Brent's musical sensibilities. And of course, when I talked to him about this monumental project, Requiem for America, Singing for the Invisible People, I asked how it all began.
This is a pet project of mine starting out. I just found a letter that I had written asking for some donations to help fund it. You know, I was like beating the bushes myself. And it was dated 2006. So when we premiere it this year, it's going to be 20 years since I first thought of the idea. So I've been working on it, picking away at it for a long time. It's sort of a takeoff on my Purchase of Manhattan concert opera that I did. I'm part of a Lenape Center, the group in New York. We're based in Manhattan. And we're all about Lenape arts and culture, bringing Lenape people back to the city. You know, Manhattan is our homeland. I had this idea of doing Purchase of Manhattan, and we got it performed in New York back in, 2015 or something. So the bait and switch for Purchase of Manhattan was that there really was no purchase. There's no deed. It never actually happened. There's no concept of land sales for Native people. So you couldn't sell a land to anyone else when the selling party doesn't even have a concept of selling land. Because the myth is Manhattan was sold for $24 worth of deeds. So we set the ticket price at $24 for people to come in. And then when we'd get them in the seats, they would listen to this hour-long concert opera about the Purchase of Manhattan, which reveals that the land was all taken by force. The Lenape people were driven away. And by the end of it, you know, that people experienced this piece and learned the truth, that it was really just a myth. So, and that's the idea for the Requiem, is taking for, and I figured, you know, if that's just one episode in New York, there's several. But if you could even take one episode, one genocidal removal event, for every state in the entire country, you could show through music and truth-telling and musical storytelling, you could show how the entire country experienced the same thing. America was founded basically on genocide. The whole country was stolen. So I thought, no one's ever done this, to create a piece about the genocidal founding of America. So I thought I should step up and do this, you know, and it's a change for me, because in the past, like usually most of the pieces I've written in the past have been empowering. Like I want to empower my Native brothers and sisters to be good role models and to empower our community and think toward the future and how brilliant we are as a people and how much we have to be proud of and inspire the youth. So this Requiem for America is a departure for me in that sense, like as was the Purchase of Manhattan. It's talking about the dark history of the United States and the chauvinistic and genocidal efforts against Native people and our survival.
Yeah.
Uncovered Wagon is, I got the idea for that from, there's this old silent movie called The Covered Wagon, and it was an epic movie where a Western where in like 1923 the people were moving from the Platte River area going west, into that area. And there's this idea in that movie, but also in the American consciousness, of America being free for the taking. Like it's empty, right? We just have to move there. It's, manifest destiny, and you see this ghostly lady flying over the plains. It's all free. You could just take it, And so there's an alternate view that no, this land was actually lived on by native people before, for thousands of years, for my own people, 13,000 years and longer. We're like Northeastern Woodlands Indians, but we didn't have Northeastern Woodlands until the glaciers receded and left the Finger Lakes, and then you get woodlands, right? So we lived there for 13,000 years, but older if we consider living along the tundra and chasing caribou and living a winter lifestyle in the cold, it could be 20, 30,000 years or even older than that for us. It's really ignorant to think that the country was free for the taking at all. So this is called the Uncovered Wagon, and that's what it came. So I made this little poem. It's just called You Earth Make Us. It's sort of reciprocal. Which is another idea for Native people, like we're not having dominion over the land, but we're living with the land in a reciprocal relationship. So it's equal. We're on equal footing with everything else. It's not hierarchical. So this little poem that I made is called You Earth Make Us. We people make you. We all live here always ever. That's the lyrics for this song, but it's in the Mohican language. And I use three different native singing styles in this work. So you get to hear a Northeastern style song, you get to hear another plain style song, and then another song that's kind of a dance called a skip dance song. So you get to hear all three songs in this Uncovered Wagon, and you get to hear them all juxtaposed against. At one point, you hear all three songs going at the same time, and you could still hear individually hear each song. but they're completely different songs from each other. They're just toggled over each other. And that was tricky. I did that for me as a compositional challenge. I wanted to see if I how many songs I could get to go where you could still maintain the listenability of each song, but have them all work together somehow. So that was fun to do. I couldn't do four. Like at four, it was like it had to be a jumble and you lost track. But I think three is the most I could juggle without you losing track of each individual through line. But also there's an old hymn in there, Faith of Our Fathers. Like there's some of the verses of Faith of Our Fathers in the second and third verses where it's talking about the land being taken over for God, you know, or take God taking the land and subduing the people that are already there, etc. Similar to what the Papal Bulls did, like for the Requiem is similar in that way. The first movement of the Requiem is called Doctrine of Discovery, and that's based on the Papal Bulls, where the Pope is giving edicts, you know, to the all the explorers coming to America to take over, control, enslave, take the land for yourselves, claim it for your own, enslave anybody who's there. That all came from the Pope, which a lot of people don't know either, that the Pope was ordering these people to sail to America and take this land. It wasn't just a suggestion, it was an order from the Pope. So and this and all those orders, the Papal Bulls, came directly from the Bible. So they're actually quoted, the Requiem quotes biblical passages, and especially the genocidal ones from, you know, First and Second Samuel's, Deuteronomy, Leviticus is especially bad for being genocidal. A little bit in Genesis as well. But it's similar, you know, in this uncovered wagon, you get this hymn. So Faith of Our Fathers is quoted in the uncovered wagon, but it's, I said it half a step apart, like it's in F or something major or something, but I said it against E so that it's clashing. It sounds really eerie when you actually hear the quotes.
We heard the group Chanticleer performing Uncovered Wagon by Brent Michael Davids, and then we heard him talking about the genesis of that piece after it. I thought it would be nice to go right into that piece from his compelling interview. Next up is Muro Quartet performing Tinnitus Quartet. But first, let's hear Brent tell us about it.
Yeah, that was that's a personal one for me because I suffer from this condition called some people say tinnitus, but the proper way is tinnitus. It's tinnitus quartet. It's a ringing in my ear that never goes away. It's now moved to both ears, so I hear it even more than before. I was camping once, and I didn't realize I had tinnitus, and I was laying on a camping pillow on one side of my ear against the pillow, and I thought, wow, it is super quiet out tonight. Like nothing. It's just super quiet night. And then I rolled over and my ear rolled off the pillow. And then I started hearing crickets. And I was like, whoa, I thought it was like a silent night. And I'm hearing it filled with crickets everywhere. And then I realized that my ear that was off the pillow was masking out the tinnitus tone. It was covering up, it was deleting the tinnitus tone in my mind, and also the crickets. Crickets are playing in the same frequency range as my tinnitus tone, this high A, super high A. So I realized I had it, and after that, I started hearing the tone, and I couldn't, ever since then, I couldn't make it go away. So I decided to write this piece because it's hard for people to describe to others what this is, you know, but I figured, if you imagine listening to any concert music or even in your house, like my tinnitus tone was stronger than this old refrigerator that made this hum. You know, my humming refrigerator was obnoxious, you know, like it would just hum all the time. And I could hear my tinnitus tone louder than the hum. And that's the only way I could describe it to someone else trying to understand what this was. And I said, imagine going to a concert or an orchestra concert and trying to listen to all the music, but you hear this high A going through everything. So I decided to write this string quartet where one of the string players always, they switch around, but one of them always plays this high harmonic A all the way through the whole piece. So it sneaks in toward the front. It sounds like a string quartet, a modern string quartet, until a few seconds into it or whatever. Then you hear a high A come. And that's like me, autobiographical, discovering my tinnitus tone. You discover it at some point, and then it never goes away till the end of the piece. And then it's my emotional feelings, like, my distraught feelings at the beginning of what this is. Oh my God, I'm going to have to listen to this tone for the rest of my life. And then I discovered that I could mask the tinnitus as well. That's a technique that people have for masking it. Because my tinnitus tone is in the range of crickets, what I could do is play crickets in my space. And it helps tone down. I don't notice the tinnitus as much because I'm hearing crickets instead. So now I actually sleep every night. I looped like 8 hours of crickets that just loop. And I have it on the single play track. And I could listen to 8 hours of crickets and get 8 hours of sleep during the night by listening to it. So I discovered it. It was a relief. So in this piece, you hear the crickets. I mean, you hear the tinnitus tone, then my distraught, then there's a little bit of relief and masking. And at the end of the piece, I end the piece by actually hearing crickets in the string quartet piece, because that's what my relief is now, is just listening to crickets.
Thank you.
Juilliard commissioned several composers to write a response to Amanda Gordon, the poet. She was like a 24-year-old poet that recited at the presidential inauguration. Amanda Gorman's The Hill We Climb project. And in her poem, she's describing this hopeful, uplifting mood of the country. Like America, she quotes, "America would raise this wounded world into a wondrous one and rise from the gold-limed hills to emerge battled and beautiful," she wrote. And it's a well-established idea, America being on a city upon a hill, the shining city upon a hill theme to the rest of the world, bringing democracy, we're a beacon for the rest of the world. But what is missing for me on that overlook was an older vision of America, again, 13,000 plus years old. And Native peoples were here, were genocided, pushed away. So, in response to The Hill We Climb, I put my title of my little snippet is called On Lenape Soil. So, if you said the two together, The Hill We Climb, On Lenape Soil. Trumpeting the Stone was, there's this Oneida tribal trumpet player named Christopher Moore, and he's from the Oneida, who are based in Wisconsin, which is very near where I am. And he's a Grammy Award-winning trumpeter, and he wanted to commission a piece for orchestra and trumpet, a concerto, trumpet concerto. So I wrote a piece based on his culture. So it's got like history and culture from the Oneida people in it. They're, surviving their removals from the East Coast and New York as well. moving to Wisconsin. And there's also a history of Native hymn singing. You know, natives were, a lot of them were Christianized as well. So there's hymn singing traditions in Native culture, and there is for the Oneida especially. And also brass band music, like they would learn brass band, you know, music. And like Carlisle, Pennsylvania is the first Indian boarding school in the country. They were prohibited from doing their own songs, the Carlisle students. But then some lady in town donated a bunch of pianos and tubas and trumpets and stuff like that to the program, and they started up music programs at Carlisle School. But they would learn to play violin and trumpets and play piano and give concerts of, you know, what we think of as classical music, but at Carlisle, done by Native students at Carlisle. So we were literate in this music as well. So there's band music in there, quotes and hymn style singing, and then a traditional Oneida type song at the end. And this is an example of my orchestral writing. So it's got some tension in there, with, you know, with the Oneida removal, but then an empowerment theme at the end when you hear more of an Oneida-like song, but orchestrated with the trumpet, with the full orchestra.
Thank you.
same piece I opened the program with today, Trumpeting the Stone, but now the whole piece. And that was the Florida State University Symphony Orchestra with Alexander Jimenez conducting. That's all the time I have on the program today for the music of Brent Michael Davids, but I hope that you enjoyed it. And what an exciting project, Requiem for America, Singing for the Invisible People. There will be premieres on May 17th in London, and then here in the United States in Boston on November 14th. So if there are recordings, hopefully we could return to it and feature that. It's obviously an incredibly powerful piece, and I, for one, am very excited for these premieres. Relevant Tones is a production of Access Contemporary Music, a nonprofit organization with the mission of bringing musical creativity to life every day. Find out more at acmusic.org. For Relevant Tones, I'm Seth Bosted. Thanks so much for listening.